You have your Bibles with you today. If you would turn to Luke chapter 11. This morning, we're going to be continuing going through our series that I've entitled Identity as we continue to look at who are we as a church and the mission that God has given us and how that we are going to accomplish it. And this morning, we want to look at prayer because we want to be a people of prayer. And immediately I know as I begin to talk about prayer, there's probably kind of an, this again. I already know all about prayer. I've been taught about prayer from the very beginning. And you know, that's just something that's still out there. But, you know, I know that many times we are like that. And I know I am like that because in large, prayer is something that many of us struggle with, myself included. You know, I want to be a man who is more diligent in prayer, more persistent in prayer. And let me just be honest with you, I'm not sure if I'll ever get to that place where I am, where I want to be in my prayer life. Because if we're honest, prayer is one of those topics where we're almost always, as I know, that that is an area of growth for me. But as we begin to talk about this morning, I kind of want to put you at ease because I want you to know that this is something that we are all in together. All of us in this room today, I hope, are going to say that prayer is going to be a strategic part of my life, a strategic part of this church moving forward. Maybe it's something that you have struggled with and you've never really been able to cultivate a prayer life. I hope that today is a shot in the arm to get you started to having a constant or persistent prayer life. I pray that if, A, you kind of feel like you're in the middle and you're kind of unreliable in it and you're back and forth and you're not very consistent, I pray that today you're going to move from the 50-yard line down into the red zone because I hope that today that we will realize that we are to be a people of prayer. And I hope that today all of us here this morning will have an encouragement to be a people who are engaging in persistent prayer because prayer is vitally important. And so what I want to do is I want to go back to the heart of it in Luke chapter 11 where the disciples are asking Jesus about prayer. And I just want to settle here today so that we can wrap our arms around how to pray, why it's important for us to pray, and most importantly, I just hope that we will be encouraged to pray more persistently than ever before because we will realize that prayer is important. Now, as we begin this sermon, I don't have time to run through all of Scripture and to give us an overview of what prayer is throughout the Bible. So what I want to do is I just want to take a step back and give us a 30,000-foot overview of prayer. Okay, you ready? Here's the big 30,000-foot overview of prayer. Prayer is important. That's it. That's basically what the Bible says. Prayer is important. Because as I think about prayer, and you go back to the patriarchs, you go back to the prophets, you go back to David, you go to Solomon, and you will see that these were people of prayer. These were people of consistent prayer. I think of Samuel, who when he was talking to David, he said, May God never find this to be true of me, that I sin against you, David, by failing to pray for you. See, Samuel said, I want to always be praying for you, David. I think of Solomon at the dedication of the temple, and he asked that God would make the temple a place of prayer. He said, God, would you answer prayers there in the temple? See, he is saying that prayer is going to be a central pillar for the people of Israel. Then you go to the New Testament, and you see the early church, and it says that they gathered together for fellowship, for teaching, and for prayer. The early church were a people who were dedicated to prayer. You go throughout all the Bible from the front cover to the back, and you will see that it is a book full of prayer, and you will see a God who answers prayer. And then you get to the ministry of Jesus, and in Luke chapter 11, you will find that Jesus didn't preach a sermon on prayer. No, we find that Jesus is actually himself praying. Jesus was a man who prays. The Son of God prayed regularly and in an ongoing way. We see that Jesus was a man who prays. In fact, the Gospel of Luke, he is one writer who records more about Jesus' prayer life than any of the other writers in the New Testament. And here in chapter 11 of Luke, you will find that Jesus is praying. He's not talking about it. He's not lecturing about it. No, he is actually praying. And when he is finished praying, one of his disciples comes up to him and says, "Lord, will you teach us to pray?" And just so, by his own example, Jesus shows us that prayer is very important. And Jesus responds with this foundational truth, because Jesus begins in verse 2 by providing a template. Let's look there in verse 2 of chapter 11. "And he said to them," this is speaking of Jesus, "when you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not unto temptation.'" Now, as I said earlier in the children's sermon, you're probably thinking, that's quite different than I remember it. Well, you're probably thinking of the Matthean account of the Lord's Prayer. But here in Luke, it's also recounted. And what we want to do is, we're not going to focus on really the prayer itself. We're not going to walk through the prayer itself, because there's something that follows this prayer that I think brings some urgency to us. But let's just start with the prayer. And this morning, I want to linger in verse 2. Because I believe that verse 2 is key. Whether you're in the Matthew account or whether you're in the Luke account, the very beginning of the prayer is significant. Because Jesus is demonstrating that that prayer is important to us, and the disciples are saying, "Okay, well, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to learn, we want to grow, we want to hear." And Jesus starts by saying, when you pray, you come to God and you say, "Father." So right there, let's just stop, because that's just amazing to me. Because here's what I want to teach you about prayer today. The first thing is this, that persistent prayer requires a big view of God. And let me just tell you how amazing this is, that Jesus starts out the prayer with "Father." Jesus doesn't start off his prayer by saying, "Oh, mighty God, oh, reverent one, oh, exalted being." No, Jesus doesn't start his prayer that way. He starts his prayer and he says, when you speak to the God of the universe, what you should do is you should say, "Father." The word in the Aramaic there is Abba. It's the same word as daddy to us. And as I read that, you know, it actually makes me a little bit uncomfortable, because I didn't grow up calling my dad daddy. I thought that was a little bit girly. And so I sit here and I read that, you know, you're supposed to call God your daddy. I'm like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, because I just grew up that way. I grew up calling him dad. But then it all changed because I had children. And let me tell you here this morning, there might be two young men here, two young little bozos who think that they're going to marry my little girls. But let me just say, there is only one man in their life who they call daddy. Amen. And daddy is much, much more important than husband. You can't change daddy. You know, I know people. I can work with that husband thing. But daddy never changes. Now, I'm half joking here. But daddy, you know, today I have a son and a daughter who are calling me daddy right now. And I have another girl who is just days away from saying her first words. And I'm sure they are going to be daddy as well. And that's just amazing, because as you think about it, daddy is important because it denotes a type of relationship that you have. Because there are only three people in this world that can call me daddy. And what that shows is that they are my children. And because they are my children, I have an unconditional love for them. I mean, it's just, there's nothing that I wouldn't do for my own children. I can't explain the type of love that I have for my children. You can explain the type of love that you have for your children and your grandchildren, because that term daddy is just an intimate, personal term. It means something. You know, I can't imagine going home from church here today, sitting at the lunch table, and Benjamin comes up to me and he says, "Oh, most high and reverent pastor of Big Spring Baptist Church, leader of our family, if thou would be so kind as to just grant me with some bread so that I can have the strength to do what you asketh of me, oh, mighty one, bless thee as well." If he did that, I'd be like, "Just get up off the floor, fool. What are you talking about? You don't talk to me like I'm some foreign dignitary or some other guy that you're acting like you never know. No, you're my son. You call me dad. You call me father." But yet, how do we treat God? Because Jesus said about the God of the universe, the God who holds all that exists in his hand, the God who created all that exists by the power of his word, a God who is infinitely wise, infinitely glorious, infinitely powerful, the God, this God, Jesus says, you call Father. You say Daddy because God the Father has sent his Son to be your mediator. And see, God is your Father. Jesus is your mediator. And if you turn from your sin and you put your faith in Jesus Christ in exchange for your sin, Jesus gives you his righteousness. And now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he is being your mediator. He is saying to God right now, "You need to listen to him. You need to listen to her, because they are mine, and there's some accusers that are lobbing accusations at them, but they don't mean anything because they are covered in my righteousness. Father, he is mine. Father, she is mine. Father, they are your children." And so God is your Father, and Jesus is your mediator. And right now, Jesus is making intercession for you if you are a child of God. But then we also have the Holy Spirit, who is our enabler. He is our helper. The Spirit even prays with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so the Spirit enables us, even in our own weaknesses, to address God not as some foreign dignitary or some off in the distance power, but the Spirit enables us to address God as Father. See, the God of the Bible is a God who wants to be known by you, a God who loves you so much that he sent his Son to die for you, his Spirit to live within you so that you can have a relationship with him and not call him some ancient foreign title that is impersonal. No, he did that so that you can call him Daddy. Isn't that just amazing? And there's so much in that one word, Daddy. I'm just blown away by this fact that God has given us access to him. Do you realize in your life at any moment you can go to God the Father? Just think about it. You might say, "Well, I'm going to go speak to the president." And if you were able to go speak to the president, here's what would happen. You would be taken into the White House, taken into the Oval Office. You would have, or kind of a waiting room outside the Oval Office. You'd have to wait there for somebody to come and get you, to escort you into the president's office. And with him standing there, then you would be able to talk to the president. But I don't think that's very likely to happen to any of us here. I don't think any of us would have that type of opportunity. But just think about this. This afternoon, wherever I am, tonight, no matter what I am doing, through the Holy Spirit, who gives me access to the Father through Jesus, our mediator, I can go to God directly and speak to him as Father. Now, it's just amazing to me. You can speak to God. He is the one who created the universe, and you can speak to him, and you can call him Father. I mean, Jesus is saying when you pray, you can speak to him in this way, and this is just a huge shift for the disciples. Is he's saying you're not praying to some foreign concept. You're not praying to some distant power. You're not praying to some impersonal God. You are praying to a person. You are praying to a Father. And so right there out of the gate, Jesus says, when you pray, you address him as Father. And here's what I want us to see, that our prayerlessness is primarily a theological issue. The fact that we do not pray is primarily not about our schedule, our busyness, our fatigue, or our temptation to be distracted, like you start praying and then a minute later you're thinking about Chick-fil-A and you're like, "What in the world happened?" Those are not primarily the reasons for our prayerlessness. Our prayerlessness is not about any of these things. The reason why we struggle with prayerlessness is because we lack a big view of God. Because if we really understood that we have access to the God of the universe who loves us, who sent his Son to die for us, who sent his Spirit to live within us, who loves us so much that he has given this access to us, that we can go to him day or night, that we can request anything that we want as long as we request that his will be done. We can cry out to him and know that he will hear us. We can cry out to him and know that he will answer us. If we just contemplate on that and grasp the greatness and the glory of our God, then we would be praying a lot more than we do. Because the primary problem is not scheduling or self-discipline. No, the biggest issues is we usually do not have a big enough view of God, and we do not comprehend how dependent we are upon him. And so as we begin this process, to process all of that, to think about all of that, there are a few things that began to surface. Because as we began to think about that and having a big view of God, we began to understand that a big view of God is the answer to a small view of prayer. Because if you have a small view of prayer here this morning, if you have yet to find its significance, if you have yet to see the power of prayer in your life, listen, I do not take you this morning to a 5-point plan of how you can begin to schedule your life to pray. No, what I want to do is I want to take you to the Bible, and I want you to encounter this great, this awesome, this glorious God who loves you and who is infinitely wise and holy and who has a plan for you. He has a plan for this world. And let me take you to this God, because as you begin to understand him, as you begin to know him, then you will want to talk with him more and more. Because the answer to a small view of prayer is to have a big view of God. But we also began to realize that prayer has no power. That there is no power in prayer. But just listen to me before anybody gets up and walks out. Because I understand you're probably sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, you have just contradicted everything you've said to this point. Well, actually, I haven't. Because just bear with me. Do you realize that this morning there are hundreds of millions of people who are praying? There's probably even billions of people who are praying. And there's many of those who are praying to a God who is not really a God. They're praying to Buddha. He doesn't really exist. They're praying to Muhammad. They're praying to some universal power in the sky. See, I hope you understand what I'm saying. There is no power in prayer. But the power that comes through prayer is a power that is directly related to the God who gives prayer to us. The power is not in prayer. The power is in God. The reason why we pray is because we have access through prayer to the God, to God our Father, and through prayer and communion with him, he accomplishes his will in this world. Through prayer and communion with him, he gives us what we need. Through prayer and communion with him, he grants us a peace that is beyond all understanding. Listen to me, and don't make a mistake today. Think that I'm putting myself on a 5-point plan, and I'm going to get up early, and I'm going to start being disciplined, and I'm going to be praying every morning. Now, that's a good thing, but don't just do that because of for praying for prayer's sake. Because there is no power in prayer if you are not connected to the God of this universe. God is where the power is. And the reason why we discipline ourselves, the reason why we are prioritized prayer and we make a big deal about this, is because it is prayer that connects us with God. And that is what Jesus says. He says, you began your prayer with Father. Father, I recognize that you are infinitely amazing. And Father, I get to come to you and I get to call you Daddy. Father, I want to adore you. And so in your prayer life this week, what I challenge you to do is I challenge you to always start with prayer. Always start with praise. Always start by honoring the Lord. Always start by calling to mind the greatness of our God, because that is where the power is. And always when you ask, say, your kingdom come. But let me just ask you this. Do you really believe that the Lord's will for your life is what is best for you? Do you really believe that? Because, see, I actually find a lot of comfort here. Because we see that there's, first of all, praising God for who he is, but there's also submission to his will. And I find a lot of comfort for this because there are many times I would admit to you, I'm asked to pray, and I don't know what to pray for. You know, when somebody's real sick, do you pray that God would heal them? Or do you pray that God would just go ahead and take them home to be with him forever? You know, if there's a troublemaker in the church, do you pray that God will take them out or call them in? You know, I don't know of any troublemakers here in Wheaton. I'm sure none of us have ever heard of a troublemaker before. We don't like to talk about that. And I don't know of any here, but I have read about one in the Bible. His name was Saul. And I can imagine that there were some Christians there in the early days that were praying that God would just take him out. Because he was there killing all these other Christians, but you want to know what God did? He called him not to die, but he called him to live. Well, that's never been the same since. But there's many times we don't know what to pray. But do you know what you do in those situations? Here's all you have to do. God, I don't understand all the circumstances and how they're going to work out. I don't understand everything that is going on, but Father, I just pray your will be done. And we leave it at that. Because we are wondering, so many times, how do we pray? But we just pray for God's will, and we leave it at that sometimes. Jesus goes on to say that we ask for bread, and we ask for forgiveness, and all these other things, but at the end of the day, prayer begins with a big view of God. And what I hope today is to illuminate for you that there is the glory and the majesty of our God, and I hope to encourage you by the fact that there is a God who knows you, and he wants to know you, and he has sent his son to die for you, and his spirit to live within you, and he wants to communicate with you, and he has given you access to him, and he is asking for you to come and to call him daddy. What an encouragement that is. Why should we not pray? What an encouragement. And he just keeps the ball moving down the field here, though, by Jesus begins telling a story. He doesn't enter into a five-point sermon on this is how to pray. He simply says, gives a prayer as an example, and then he starts with a story. And let's continue and look at verse 5. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot give up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, that's just a fancy word for persistence. But because of his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. Because what this reveals to us is this, that persistence is a key aspect to prayer. Persistence is key. See, Jesus gives the example, and then he tells this story. Jesus says there's a man who is asleep at midnight. Now understand, there was no electricity in Israel at this time. So what they did is they went to bed when the sun went down. So they'd go to bed at 8, 9 o'clock. They would wake up when the sun came up. So they'd be up early in the morning. There's many cultures around the world that are still like this. And so when this guy comes knocking on the door, it's midnight. Now, I know for some of you here, especially you youth, midnight is just the time of your day is actually about to begin. But that was not true for this man in this story. Midnight, he was in bed. It was the middle of the night, and that guy comes knocking. And I don't know about you, but if somebody comes knocking in the middle of the night at my house, I'm going to introduce them to Mr. Smith and Weston. But instead, this guy hollers out, hey, who is it? Well, it's me from next door. Well, what do you need? Well, I had a friend who came in really late, and I didn't have a chance to make a Walmart run, and I don't have any bread. So I was wondering, could I have a little bit of bread so I can send him on his way in the morning? You're serious? You came over here in the middle of the night just for bread? No, go away. So he's not getting up. He's not going to get out of bed. Jesus even says there, very interesting statement, that this man's not going to get up just because this is his friend. But he says he will get up because of his persistence, because the guy didn't leave. Yes? You still there? Yeah, I need bread. No, go away. Go away. Go away. And finally, the man opened the door and gave him what he wanted. And he tells that story. Now, let me correct a little misunderstanding here. Jesus, when he told parables that just had one meaning. And the meaning here is not about the guy who's in the bed. This is not here teaching us that God is inconvenienced by the knocking of his children. That is not the point of this parable. It's not like the Trinity's in heaven convening together, and all of a sudden they're saying, it's Daniel again. Well, what does he want? That's the same thing he's been asking for a year. Won't he just give up on it? That's not what they're saying, that God's not inconvenienced by our asking. But what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, when you pray to God as your daddy, and then you keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying, and you keep praying, because persistence is a key aspect of prayer. And what Jesus is saying here is that it's for the persistent ones, the one who continues to know, the one who continues to pray, who is rewarded. See, Jesus is emphasizing the power of persistence. And let me tell you something here this morning. Persistence pays off, because what it does is it communicates something about the relationship. Because see, what Jesus is talking about here is, he is talking about a persistent friend. Because he continues on in verse 10. It says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, now much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And see, Jesus is starting with an argument from the lesser to the greater. He is saying, if those who are evil would never give something harmful to their children, how then could we conclude that persistent prayer will result in a negative for us? I mean, how many of you, if your child wakes up in the morning and says, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, can I have an egg for breakfast? And you will say, no, but here's a cobra. You know, if you ever do that, invite me over, so I really want to see how that works and what happens with that. Because we know none of us would ever do that. We're going to give the best to our children. Sometimes they ask for things that they don't need, but here's what we will always do. We will always give them what they need and make sure their needs are met. Because sometimes, see, we go to God asking for scorpions. But in God's grace, he gives us what we need. Sometimes we ask for things we don't need. But you know what? God is so good, you and me, he always gives us exactly what we need. Jesus argues from the lesser to the greater. He is saying, listen, this is the one thing to know how to pray and to have the framework. It begins with God. But don't forget persistence. Just in case you think I'm exaggerating, you could turn to Luke chapter 18. I don't have time to read it. But I suggest you go and read it later. Once again, we see Jesus teaching on the persistence of prayer. Twice in Luke, he talks about this. And he is saying, pray, pray, persistently run after your Father. Don't let this go. Don't see it as unimportant. Don't see it as insignificant. Go, go, go. And how do you have that? You begin by having a big view of God. And when you have a big view of God, you see him as your Father, and you know of his love and provision for you, and you love him, and as you grow in your knowledge of him, guess what? You're going to begin to converse with him, and you're going to run after him, and you're going to go knocking on that door whenever it is, time and time again, because you look at the Old Testament, and you see sometimes people are praying for some things for years, and yet even in our own impatience, what we do is we often just pray one time, and if it's not answered in the morning, we just say, God doesn't care, I'm just going to give up. No, what he is saying is keep on praying. Jesus is saying knock, knock, knock. Ask, 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 and it will be open to you. Keep praying today. Keep praying on Monday. Keep praying on Tuesday. Keep praying on Wednesday. And guess what? Keep praying in April. Keep praying and praying in June. Keep praying in July. And keep on going. Keep praying in 2017. Keep praying in 2018. Keep praying. Keep conversing. Keep casting your cares upon him, because he is your Father. And so those of you here this morning with lost children, keep praying. Those of you with lost spouses, keep praying. Those of you who are looking for a job, keep praying. Those of you who are looking at how God can use you as a missionary where you work right here in Cleveland, Tennessee, or anywhere else around the world, keep praying. Keep praying for your children, for your grandchildren, for our church, for our ministry. Keep praying for your walk in Christ. Don't stop praying because God is your Father. See, Jesus doesn't just stop with saying, this is how you pray. He teaches them how to pray, and then he says, now go do it. Keep praying persistently. And so let me just summarize quickly some things of how, of what we just have to get right in our heart. And this is our take home. And the first thing is this. Prayer actually changes things. Isn't that good news? Prayer actually changes things. I've heard over the years, it's well-intended, but it's wrong, that prayer doesn't change God, prayer doesn't change anything else, prayer just changes me. That's wrong, because Jesus doesn't just pray this and then trust him to do whatever he's going to do. Jesus says, pray to God as your Father, and keep on praying, and pray persistently, and God will answer. I'm happy to report today that prayer does change things. Because prayer is the chosen instrument for God to carry out his will in this world. And it does change things. Your prayers do matter. And I understand that when it comes to prayer in the mind of God, that there's a mystery there, that God is sovereign and we are not, that God has a plan, and although we don't always know it, but I do know that God has ordained prayer as his instrument for his will to be carried out in this world. And so what we should do is we should continue to pray persistently time and time again, because we know we're not going to wear God out. And I believe what Jesus is saying here is that your prayers matter. And what that should do is encourage us to get on our knees in the future with a big view of God and an eagerness to go to him as your Father and say, Father, here is where I am today. What a privilege we have. Prayer changes things. So let me say this very clearly. If your theology is what keeps you from praying, then you have bad theology. Because a good theology and a robust theology is rounded in prayer. And a good work ethic understands that God will do nothing without the prayer of his people. We also see that God rewards those who are persistent in prayer. And we've already talked about this, so we're just going to quickly go over that. And the third thing we see is this. Prayer is ultimately about getting God and not just getting gifts. Yes, we see that we make our requests, but the starting point is a big view of God and then praying with persistence. That's where we have to start. That is why this is part of our identity. That is why I'm calling everyone in this room to be much more serious about engaging our Father in prayer. Because prayer is not about getting gifts. Ultimately, it is about getting God. That's why the psalmist, as he prays, says, the one thing that I ask of the Lord, the only thing I want is God. Because that's what we need. And I think in church, we are always good at gathering prayer requests, but we're usually pretty bad about actually praying. Because if we want to be a church that continues to grow, that continues to reach the nations, to impact the lostness here in Cleveland, Tennessee, and around the world, we have to be a church that increases with prayer. And that has to start with each of us. It starts with a big view of God that leads us to persistent prayer. Prayer that actually changes things. Prayer that is rewarded by the Father. Prayer that has him as the chief goal. And that is where we need to be today. And if you are here today and you don't have a relationship with God, that is the first prayer then that you say. You pray that God would forgive you of your sins and that he would accept you not because of anything you have done, but that he would accept you through the righteousness of Jesus Christ and that he would bring you into his family as his son or daughter. And if you do that, the Bible says that anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you are here this morning and have already turned to Christ, then let us get out of this pretense. Let us set aside this unnecessary burden of viewing prayer as just a discipline. And let us get into the frame of mind where instead it's just something we're supposed to do. Let it be something where we go to God as our Father, as we go to God as our Daddy, and let us go to Him persistently. Let us be a church of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we can come to you, that we can come to you as our Father. You're not some impersonal deity. You're not some far-off thing that we can't know. But you are the one true living God, the creator of this universe, infinitely holy, infinitely glorious, infinitely powerful, and we can come to you because of what you have done through Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. Father, I know so many times prayer is a struggle in my life. I know it's such a struggle in so many people's lives. Father, I pray that here this morning we would just be overwhelmed by who you are. And that we won't be forced to our knees because it's something we're told to do. But we will go to our knees because we want to talk with you. We want to speak with you. We want to be dependent upon you as our Lord, as our Savior, as our God, as the one who is in control. Father, help us to be persistent. I know if so many have said, I've been praying and praying and praying for this, I just don't know if God is listening. Father, help us to know you are listening. And help us to continue to pray. Let us pray for our loved ones, our family members who don't know the Lord. Maybe we've been praying for 20, 30, 40 years, but Father, I pray that we continue to have that compassion to pray. Let us be a people of prayer, coming to you, trusting in you, because you are sovereign. You are in control. Father, if there is one here who doesn't know you, I pray that they will start that today. They will pray to you. They will ask you for forgiveness. They will trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, and his righteousness, and ask to be your Son or daughter. Pray that it will start. Father, build us up. We know that we can do nothing without prayer. So help us to be people of prayer. Pray for all this in Jesus' name.